It is November 10th. This is episode 246. Welcome to the Casual Hour, a podcast ostensibly about video games, but mostly about putting cereal in the bowl first. I am Bobby Pease, the host of this show.
And wait. No. Whoa. Who would do it the other way?
Yeah.
Johnny, of course.
No. What? Only terrorists would put milk in the bowl first.
Where'd this come from?
The only reason that you should ever, ever put milk first is if it's your second bowl and you're just adding a little bit more in because you didn't get enough the first time.
Sure.
Right?
No. Oh.
Yes. So
you finish that bowl. Milk and then you do a whole new bowl.
You get, cereal always in the bowl don't first.
Reuse milk?
Hey, man, you're going to add more to it anyway.
What's that?
You know, what if you're in a hurry?
I think
if you're in a hurry, you shouldn't be eating cereal.
No, if you're in a hurry, you put the cereal and you put yes. Chat, please back us up on this. Cereal does go in the bowl first. If you're in a hurry, you put cereal in a coffee mug and you take it with you and you eat it on the go, and then you can drink the milk after it's done. It's great. It's fantastic.
Aimless, I appreciate what you're saying there. You reuse milk to double the tasty cereal milk. Yeah. That's not true, though. You double the tasty cereal milk if you have two milks. If you reuse the milk, you just have the one tasty cereal milk.
You I'm add more to
drink
it.
That. No!
There's not going to be enough milk left over for a whole other bowl of cereal.
Excuse me, sir. I buy 12 gallons of milk a week for my family. So I think I know a little bit more about milk than you do and the amounts of it.
All right. Colin in chat saying we got it wrong. It goes spoon, then milk, then bowl, then cereal. I think that's the right fit. I think that's it. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going for here.
You put the spoon in last because that's just taking up volume inside the bowl. You know, the cereal can't settle properly if there's a spoon.
It stirs the milk.
Now,
that's what you do.
I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I'll take... My bowl
taste, you can see. You can't spell it, but you do.
You ever had those Cinnamon Toast Churros?
Toast.
That cereal?
That's not nearly as good. It's blasphemous. You take...
I like French Toast so Crunch. That was a good time.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. You eat your bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. You go to get your second cup of coffee, and you top that coffee off with a little bit of that cinnamon cereal milk, and boy howdy, you got yourself really nice cup of coffee.
This is a special
little treat.
I'm not a coffee man, but that sounds all right.
Oh, Lodi coming. Oh my gosh. Jedi. Always so kind. Hey everybody. Johnny is back from assignment and we want to say we've missed
you.
Because you were gone for so long, I did raise the price of me being nice to you. So
is it?
Yeah, it's up.
It was already 40,000, I thought.
Oh well, I'll have to fix that when you're talking because it should be 50.
I don't give a shit.
That'll teach you, you son of a bitch.
I listened to you guys talk about about me.
I was over halfway to the cost, and
you'll never get there. I'll take that shit to the moon. But tonight we've got Chase here, the gamer on the go. We've got Johnny, the guy that would have not even been on my friends list on MSN Messenger. And we're
MSN?
Here.
What?
I'm from Illinois.
You wouldn't have had anyone to talk to if you're on MSN Messenger. Oh,
okay.
It just would have been you and some like you corn bots.
That's all that mattered. Corn bots?
Corn bots. Well, I mean, we are from Midwest.
Corn bots, do tell. So we're here to tell you about video games. We got
talking about ethanol. Hey, have you heard about ethanol? It's pretty great. Yeah, fucking corn bots.
Corn bots, shit. Man. Corn hub.
Oh my god. I gotta go.
Okay.
Yeah. Johnny's been back on this podcast for 5 minutes and he has to leave.
Fucking terrible. We are gonna be doing quite a bit tonight. We got a lot of games to get through and some news. And then we've had quite the week already, and we're working our way towards a very fun Friday night here. So stick around. We're going to tell you about all that stuff. Patrick will be back next week. We'll have a full house here at the Casual Hour right before we take a week off for Thanksgiving. Corn Hub. Oh, my God. Chase, you play video games.
Yeah.
And I don't quite know what you're
debatable saying, at this point.
What you're saying here in our show note. Look, we're highly organized here at the Casual Hour. We got a whole note.
Oh yeah.
Are there as many step sibling videos on Cornhub as stepbrother ate my corn?
One can only hope.
What? What's the button? I gotta get us off. This is fucking terrible.
Video games. You're talking about them.
Chase, your note says dealer's choice. Does that mean I get it?
What does that mean?
Yeah, what is
that the name of the game you're playing?
Are you playing poker?
Man, I really wish there was a name of a game that was dealer's
choice. There's got to be a game called dealer's choice.
Maybe I'll make that video game. I have two video games that I have been playing this week that I could talk about, and I'm only going to talk about one of them, and I thought I would give you guys the option of which one you want to hear about.
Oh.
Sound good? Goody.
Right. Yeah, what are the two choices?
Okay, your options are SD Gundam G Generation Genesis, which is a Gundam-themed turn-based strategy game.
It has the word Gundam in it, so I like it already.
It's true. It's a lot like Super Robot Wars. Bobby, I think you froze. Oh, no, you're good. Okay, I thought you froze up there for a second. And the other one is Chicory, a Colorful Tale. So, you know, I'm happy to talk about either one, whichever you guys prefer.
I want to hear about Chicory. Because I've been playing...
Oh, really? Oh, do you? Yeah. Shocking.
because I've been playing Chicory as well.
Johnny, which one did you want to hear about? I know you're pretty excited about those Gundams. We could make it a tie.
We should hear about Chicory.
Ah, damn it.
I mean, we've already had Super Robot Wars, Deep Dive.
Yeah. And I've already talked about SD Gundam on this this podcast before. I just have the Switch version. I didn't realize there was a Switch version. There is. It's in English. And I was able to snag it. And I've been playing it again and kind of fallen in love with that game all over again. But you guys know what it is. It's
Where are you playing Chicory? PlayStation?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's good. It's good there. Might be better on other platforms.
Can you use
this is on PC, isn't it?
Can't you use a touchpad for coloring?
You can. They don't tell you can, but that was like the first quick hack that I found. It was you use the right thumbstick. It tells you to use the right thumbstick. And I'm like, okay, this is fine, but it's
bump the touchpad on accident.
It's much faster. No. I just guessed. I was like, maybe I could use a touchpad. And it absolutely works. And it's way better. The only problem is that sometimes it kind of jumps if you use the touchpad. You gotta hit it in a specific spot. So if I'm trying to paint something really precise, I'll still use the right thumbstick. But if I'm just trying to, like, oh, I need to light up this whole cave, touchpad, baby. And it's there. Let's back up a little bit. I think we've talked about Chicory on this podcast before, right? Has anybody played Chicory?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bobby did.
I talked about it on there.
Yeah. And we did a quick look of it. I remember that. I just didn't know if we really talked about it on the show. So Chicory is, just as a refresher, it's a puzzle adventure game. You play as a dog character who you name after your favorite food. I unfortunately knew about that going in, because Bobby, you'd talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
So I already knew how to game the system. I knew that was going to be my name, whatever I wrote. So I didn't write, what you I would really Chase. Answer. No. I mean, I would have answered something like pizza or buffalo chicken or something. That's there.
I'm pizza.
I'm beef, because I thought beef.
Hell yeah.
Beef supreme.
got my little character Beef, and you're a janitor for what is called a wielder, who is kind of like a godlike figure who wields a paintbrush and adds color to the world and creates things. But the problem is the world goes to black and white. It all just sucks up to black and white, and nobody knows why. And the current wielder, named Chicory after the game, is nowhere to be found, and the magic paintbrush is right there, so your character picks that brush up and then is kind of dubbed the new wielder. at that point. So then you go out in the world, you're trying to solve problems for people, you're trying to figure out why the color is drained from the world. You find out there's a darkness that is starting to envelop things, and it's your job to kind of fight back against that and bring back a color to the place. And it's super charming. It's just a really nice, so I think it's about a 12, 13 hour game. I've only got like a handful of hours, maybe like three-ish in there so far. But it's nice. Like all the characters are named after food that you find. So you find I'm trying to remember what he is. Is he a monkey or is he a pig? Maybe, there's a character named Cantaloupe that I like.
Cantaloupe's very good.
There's a bird who teaches an art class named Quinoa. That's the kind of stuff that you're dealing with. And all the characters just are written really nicely. I also really appreciate that every time somebody talks, they have a different type treatment.
Mm-hmm.
That goes along with their personality, but also goes along with their emotions that they're given at the time. So if they're going a little sassier, it might be a little scriptier font. Whereas, you know, it gets bigger or less serifed if they're trying to be more direct to you. It's just really charming. And I think the puzzles are generally pretty easy, but also I know we talked about this before. This game has a hint system that is both extremely well done and funny, but also allows the game to get hard without worrying about it. So the way the hint system works, which I think is one of the best parts of the game, is that you can go to these phone booths dotted around the world. And when you call, you're calling home. And your mom picks up the phone, and she's always happy to hear from you. And that's she'll nice. Offer you a little hint about what you're stuck on. And her hints will always be, hey, have you thought about going to this kind of area? Or maybe go deeper here. Or maybe check around these walls, and you might get an idea of what's going on. And then you see this hand come off screen. Oh my
god, it's so good!
And she'll always say, like, okay, well, I think that probably took care of everything. Well, I'll talk to you later. Oh, wait, hang on. It sounds like your dad wants to talk to you. Do you want to talk to your dad? You know how he gets. He'll always just give you the answer. But if you want to talk to him, you're welcome to. And then you get the option, do I just want to hear what the fucking answer is? Or do I... Am I okay? Am I fine here? And you always take the answer because your dad is awesome.
Yes.
Your dad's a little raccoon, and he is so excitable. He's like, hey, what's up? This is what you gotta go. You gotta go to this room. It's left one screen from your house, and then you gotta go through this little hole in the fence, and then you gotta do this, and this. Like, oh, okay, that's...
He's got
that's exactly big, that's like step by step
energy, man. He looks like Ben Stiller's father for sure.
I can see it for sure. So it's fun. You never get lost because you get either a soft hint or a really hard, this is what it is hint. Just super solid will tell you what it is, which allows the game to say, okay, we're going to ramp up something here. We're going to make something a little bit more difficult. Because we know that you always have that option to go to if you really need it. And I have used it a couple times legitimately. Sure. I didn't know where that hole in that fence was to get through a tunnel. I didn't see it. I could see the tunnel. I couldn't get to it. Or like, where the fuck am I supposed to go? And him saying, hey, you gotta go through that hole in that fence. Oh, okay. There is a hole in that fence. Thank you for saying that. Man, it's been good.
In a year where I wanted desperately to have new Zelda games, I feel like I got two really solid experiences to mimic that between mm-hmm. Chicory and Eastward. But I think Chicory has a lot more of like a Link to the Past vibe to it, or a Link's Awakening even. Like I say that like in the loosest terms. Like it's kind of, in my opinion, if you take a Link to the Past and you mix in Night in the Woods, and you mix those two up, and maybe a little bit of like Earthbound in there also, you get a really wild, wild thing. And it's good. It's very, very good. I like it a whole lot.
It is. Check it out. And another thing I really like about this game is that it doesn't really have combat. There are some bosses that you face at specific parts where you use your magical paintbrush in maybe not creative ways for the boss, but you do fight a couple bosses, but for the most part, there is no combat. It is just walking around, it's talking to people, it's solving puzzles, and you solve puzzles by using this paintbrush in various different ways. So some plants that you find in the world, if you color them in, they'll grow big, which means you can walk over the top of them across ledges. Other plants you can shrink. Other plants shrink when they get color on them. So sometimes you have to erase to be able to get the same thing. There are some plants that will throw you, and you can use those to solve some puzzles that kind of launch you to different areas of these screens, these top-down screens, and those are pretty well done too. There's a thing. Oops, knocked the thing there.
I thought that damn bee showed back up. I thought that fucking bee was back. I was ready for it.
There's like a bomb that you can find that naturally occurs in the world that you can, when you paint it, it explodes, and you're able to move that bomb around the screen to break certain walls or boxes or things before you hit it with the paint. It's really pleasant. I think the puzzle design is pretty smart in there. I like the way that you can just freestyle and color the paint or color the whole world. If you want to, you can color yourself. If you want to, you can find these gifts out in the world that change your cosmetics. You get hats and shirts, and you can paint those different colors too. You can go in, like one of the first things you do, you're walking around this town of Luncheon, and one of the people is like, hey, my house doesn't have any color on it anymore. I really want my house to have the color back. Can you please just fill it back in for me? And you take your paintbrush and you draw some stuff, and they go, well, that's not how chicory did it.
Shit.
Yeah, this kind of sucks. Can you actually erase it? To tutorialize you on how to paint and how to erase. And then like, well, maybe try again. And you paint it again. And like, well, I'll figure out how to love it, I suppose. Like, everybody's also like a real dick to you in some nice ways, where like Chicory is this amazing wielder who everybody loves.
You're still the janitor.
Yeah, you're kind of figuring out how this whole thing works, and people know, like, are you really gonna save the world? Like, yeah, I totally am.
Mm-hmm. You sure about that?
Nothing, I guess.
You kind of suck.
And it does have a message underneath too, which I really appreciate. There's the nature of creating art. You find Chicory later in the game, and Chicory is just pretty depressed and just doesn't want to do this job anymore. Doesn't want to create art anymore. And it kind of bequeaths the paintbrush to you. Just like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't have it in me. And you are like Chicory's number one fan, which is the whole reason you were a janitor for them in the first place. You just wanted to be near them. So your character just doesn't understand what that means. Like, what do you mean? You're like the best artist I know. You create these bold and amazing things. You're like, yeah, I just don't want to do it anymore.
Is that where you get the burnout?
No, I haven't gotten that yet. I did take one of the art classes though, which was probably my favorite thing, where they gave you, first thing was just like represent joy. And I just made like a bunch of rings that all kind of intersected, cause it was an easy thing to do. And I thought it still kind of looked cool. And then the second art class you take from Quinoa, they give you a painting, because all the paintings have gone away because all the colors drained to the world. So like, we need to recreate some of these classic paintings. And the first one they give you is this kind of cat owl thing. I think it's cat. That's just in a garden. It's holding a watering can, and it's walking through a field of flowers. And they're like, yeah, just remake this. And you do not have precision enough to draw like they draw. So your painting is always going to look like shit. But I spent a lot of time trying to recreate. Oh, that's a pretty good one, Bobby.
Thanks.
That's really nice of Chicory.
Yeah, you have to draw Chicory in the game, and I drew Chicory in the game.
Very cool. That's nice. My painting, I haven't gotten to that one yet, but my painting, my recreation, I really like. But it is bad. But I gave it an old college try. And then they hang it up in the museum. So like, well, this is all we got.
That's wonderful.
Like, so good. I guess this is the painting now. And like, oh no, I've ruined this entire museum with my garbage.
It's so good.
It is fun. It's a fun thing to kind of customize around. I also really like that when you eventually get like a camera phone that you can use in the world to take photos of things, and then you can look those back up for puzzle solving. But when you go to the map, it keeps all of the color mm-hmm. you've ever painted in the world on the map. So you could write yourself little notes. I could just write a big X in the world, like literally in the world, and then that would show up on the map, and I could remember, oh, that big red X that I drew, that is, you know, that's specifically really cool. So I remember to come
Mine
back.
Mine still
there.
Says Chase from our quick look we did of it, and I've just left it there. So Chase is going to be permanently etched in my map for my playthrough.
One more thing before I quit out. When I went back to the museum and I looked at my painting that I did, I didn't realize this. It gives you a time lapse of how you created that painting, and that is so cool to see it time lapse super sped up of you just building your recreation of the painting. I was like, oh, this is really neat. I wish I could, and maybe you can. I wish I could gift these and then post them online just so people could see my process of how I made stuff like that. I do follow some artists on Twitter, and I know that people, you know, when they create art on tablets, they have that time lapse feature, and they'll show their process videos, and those are always pretty cool.
That's always awesome.
But I really like the idea of doing it here when you have such simple tools. And I kind of just want to look at a bunch of people's chicory time lapses and see how they got to things.
I know on the PC they have a GIF maker built into it, and so like you can export stuff out that way and have your GIFs come out, which is really cool. But yeah, I think that game it really has a ton of heart to it. That team did an awesome job with it. It came out pretty early in the year, and I know it really made some waves, and it's one of the games I've recently gone back to check out and see, like, how's it hold up? Is it going to make my list on like my top 10 list? I think it's going to make a lot of my categories. There's some categories I can see it shining pretty bright in, when we talk game of the year stuff at the, in December, but I really dig it.
Yeah. I mean, you brought it up to me. What was it? Maybe a month ago when we kind of did that. Hey, we need to catch up. What else do we need to play on our list before game of the year time? And that was one you mentioned to me.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I'm playing it. I don't know if I'm going to finish it before game of the year. I think honestly, at this point, I've seen enough to kind of know where I would rank that game. But I also know that, you know, 12, 13 hours isn't a whole lot. I could probably knock that out if I needed to. I just know that there's also, I still need to finish Eastward. I need to play more Psychonauts. I need to.
Yeah.
A game that we're gonna...
I need to start Kena Bridge of Spirits. Mm-hmm. That's another one I want to try before we get started. So, you know, still busy times.
No time like the present to plug something. So for everybody who's hanging out with us in chat, and for those of you who are listening on the podcast version of this, the three of us have made a decision, and we talked a little bit about it earlier in the week, that our Monday night casual Monday streams and our Friday night traditional Let's Play streams, we're going to try and revisit some of these games that mean a lot to us. They meant a lot to us. They still might mean a lot. Do they hold up? That's kind of the whole purpose of it. So you're going to see us starting to go back to some casual favorites here that we've really been touched by this year. So Chase and I will usually be hanging out on Monday nights, and we've got a pretty good outline of some of the games that have really impacted us that we want to come back
next to. Monday, Super Robot Wars 30, Bobby, by high demand. Bobby's like, you got to come back and play
I'm
more
on
of this game.
Six on my PC, like, all right, just crushing life.
Scenario six, please.
Scenario six, sorry. But then Fridays will be Johnny and I going through, and I think there might be some single player games to do there, but this Friday is the exception, of course. But we will be revisiting some 2021 games that we wanted to check out on those. So just a nice invitation to come back and hang out with us on some Fridays and Mondays as we play through some of these games leading up to Game of the Year. Chase, any other updates you got here before we move on?
No, I really like the Hot Scramble Gundam's the one that you want. It's DLC for SD Gundam G Generation Genesis, but like it's just the best thing you can
get. I'm more
like,
of a hot over easy.
No, you're not.
I'm not at all. I like Scramble. No. We'll talk about that. That'll be
what the fuck? Don't lie to the viewers.
Any other games? Or do you want to hear about me walking around?
I mean, I don't want to hear that either, but
yes. I'd like to hear about that.
What have you been walking around and doing, Bobby?
So, we talked about this on the news or on stream or something like that. Pikmin Bloom came out. I think we talked about this on like maybe the monthly preview episode. I can't remember. This is that new Niantic joint. Harry Potter is dead. Long live Pikmin. So the team that has brought you Pokemon Go has partnered with Nintendo to bring Pikmin to their platform. Yeah,
what the hell is this?
I don't know. I have no idea
It's another one of these. It's another AR.
Yes.
But how does it work with the Pikmin?
The way it works, you have planters the same way that you have incubators in Pokemon Go. You have a lot more. These are not nearly as rare. You have some permanent ones that just live in your backpack. I think you can have up to 5 or 6 at any time. They have varying degrees of what they can do to help grow things. And then you get seeds in the world. So far, I've got red, blue, and yellow seeds that will spawn Pikmin that have abilities based off their color. So they might be able to be resistant to certain things, or they might be better for certain climates or activities. And they'll follow you around.
Hang on, Bobby. Johnny, trivia time. Without looking, red, blue, and yellow Pikmin, what face features does each one have?
Face features?
Yeah. Each color of Pikmin has a specific face feature that the other ones don't have.
You mean like nose and... Mm-hmm. Dude, I don't know.
I'll even give you a hint. One of them has a nose, one of them has a mouth, and one of them has ears. Those are the three.
I think red has the nose.
Good.
Yellow has the mouth?
No, damn it, Johnny.
Dude, I haven't played Pikmin in years.
Never played Pikmin, and I know this.
Well, excuse me. You must have played with Olimar a lot on Smash Bros.
I do like Olimar. I do have the Pikmin amiibo.
Oh, okay.
So this one links up to your Nintendo account. It can, I should say, and it will bring over your Mii. And so your Mii is front and center in this, or you can create one if you don't have that or don't want to do that. But I think it's more of like a journal than the other game. I think it's not supposed to be as actively played, in my opinion, as like what a Pokemon
Go. It seems like there's less to do.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Is like,
so
I just didn't understand how they returned the concept of Pikmin into a
walk around.
Thing.
You grow Pikmin, and then the Pikmin follow you. And if you keep walking, more Pikmin will grow. And
do tasks with them.
There's expeditions that you can send them on. So if you are out,
okay.
Like, here's an example. Like, I just opened up to show you all this here.
Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Do you see, like, how you have those different emotions beneath your character here? So, at the end of each day...
Well, Bobby, wait a minute. Wait. Why are your eyebrows so severe? You look like you're just domineering over these poor Pikmin. And one step out of line, and...
Hang on.
Bobby rules his Pikmin with an iron fist.
So anyway, at the end of the day, you get to choose one of those, and then depending on what you pick, so if you had a good day, it's like, hey, why don't you pick a photo that you took today, and we see that you took this one, we think this is a good one, why don't you use this one for your day and tell us about it. And so you can other days you can just journal, and you can literally treat it as a journal. You can go in and be like, this is why my day was this way, and you can talk about it and keep it there, and you can go back and look at it. You're leveling up your character. As you're doing that, you're able to have more Pikmin follow you around. I think it's neat. Like, I do think this AR stuff is neat, but
are you going to stick with it?
Well, the thing for me, so I work, I'm on my feet most of the day working. My watch tracks my movement, which is synced up to my phone, which then counts my steps. So like I'm getting stuff for this game just by moving about, and I'm not like intentionally going out like I was for Pokemon, where I'm trying to find areas to catch and all that stuff. Like I'm just moving about, doing my stuff. And so like I'll open it up once a day, collect the nectar, feed the Pikmin, grab their petals, do all that shit. It takes a few minutes. I just got a huge...
You never grab a Pikmin's petals, Bobby.
You're supposed to.
That's it. Only if they say you can.
Yeah, they were asking for
Listen,
it.
Listen, this is...
Yeah. Have you looked at those petals, Johnny?
This is full consent, Pikmin. They tell me, you've given us all the nectar. We're ready to give
hole just is like...
But the petals are used for... So you can do something that's a lot like the incense on Pokemon, where when you start to use these petals and you're like walking around like a bloom area, I don't really fucking understand it, but it's there, it's free. It's a gacha game. But I don't see where they would want you to get got.
Yeah, that was gonna be my question. Where's the money come in? Do you
tinfoil hat time
those for your me? Do you get more of those pots by buying them?
You say. You say that you can journal in this.
Yeah.
Who can say that it's not logging what you write and then selling?
It's doing more than that. Like it'll give you the Nike Plus thing at the end of the day to be like, look at everywhere that you walked, and it just draws it all around. You're like, great, you're just tracking me. Yep. I mean, I'm sure everything else is doing it too, but it's to be have it laid out like that is a little unnerving. When I saw that, I was like, oh, that's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need people to see
the old story
where I walk.
Yeah, I don't know. Like the shop has flower packs. They have special packs. You can buy more nectar for the Pikmin. You can get single use slots, which is what you use to plant them. They've got petals you can use. You can increase your nectar storage. I mean, all the shit's there.
Is nectar like the Skooma equivalent in the Pikmin universe?
You're basically just getting these fucking Pikmin stone is all it is. These Pikmin are just junkies. Hey,
just give me there are Pikmin that specifically throw rocks. So
God, I don't know. It's neat. It's fine. It's one of those things. I think what's more interesting to me, and this is, it's more of a news story, but we're not going to cover it in the back half here, is Niantic is building their own metaverse of AR, and they have now rolled out.
Can you retire the word metaverse?
No,
it's just getting started.
Yeah, it's just getting started. So,
God damn it,
they have now created Niantic accounts where you can like lock in a gamer tag with this, and they're trying to expand into more properties. They did just close the door on Harry Potter. It's Wizarding World, I believe, is what that one was called. And
yeah,
Wizarding, yeah. So I don't know, man. I think Pikmin has a following for sure, but I don't know if it's got that name.
Doesn't have a Harry Potter following.
Right.
It doesn't have a Pokemon.
I guess my whole thing is, I'm not trying to be a dick when I say this, but if Harry Potter can't make the mustard here with this.
Well, I think people found that Harry Potter game too complicated.
Uh-huh.
And that was another reason that people weren't super into it.
I tried playing it.
It feels like maybe they're overcorrecting with the Pikmin one, making it really simple. And I'm sure there is this is not to cast aspersions on your wife, Bobby, nor me, but there's a certain kind of Animal Crossing cottage core basic bitch out there who's like, I just like that the flowers follow me when I walk around.
Right.
And I think Pikmin is something that Bloom into Pikmin, whatever it's called, is going to scratch that itch in a way that Pokemon Go doesn't quite, because that has, there's battling and that's a little bit more.
It was Digimon Go. I would play
Digimon Go in a heartbeat. Pokemon Go still good. I still play Pokemon Go every day. I don't talk about it on the podcast because it's pointless. But But also, I live in an apartment that is right next to a gym, a Pokemon gym. Well, I guess there's a real gym right across from me too, but I don't go
there. Yuck.
Yuck. Right next to a Pokemon gym, and I have Pokestops like within. I can do it from my apartment. So like, there's
Chase, we know you live a glamorous life in the big city.
Oh yeah, super glamorous. I have gamed Pokemon Go to the point where I don't have to go anywhere, and it's great.
Fair.
But yeah, I still play it, it's not so much Pokemon Go as
it is Pokemon walk around my apartment.
Yeah, so, basically.
Pikmin Bloom. It's on my phone.
I just got a Meloetta. Is that what it is? Melotta.
Sure.
The melody.
Moana.
The mythic.
The.
Nope, not that one.
So Bobby, what else have you been playing?
I've been playing on my phone some more. The game Outlanders. This is another mobile game. This is
Okay, so I had to look this up because I was like, why the fuck is Bobby playing Outlanders again? Did they drop some new content for that or something? Only to realize I was thinking of Outriders.
Yes.
Yes.
This is...
And wasn't there another Out game that came out this year that was like squished together? I know Outer Wilds put out new DLC, but
so this one I think was pretty early on when Apple Arcade launched, and I remember the icon looked pretty cool for it. And so I was just flipping through there, seeing like, hey, is there something that like I can use like while I'm, because I usually right before bed, like I'll play some WordWeb or something like that. And I wanted something that was a little bit more.
Have you played the new DLC for the
Monument Valley?
I always forget. Yeah, thank you.
Not yet. You played that yet? I've downloaded the game again onto my, because I got some new tech, so I've got it ready to go. I'm gonna check it out. Outlanders is really cool.
What is it?
It is a sim like town management game. It is on, so if you're on Apple Arcade, it's of course on all those things, so Apple TV, iPads, phones, Macs. It's built off chapters that are self-contained stories where each town has a leader. So it's set, it seems to be set in like the 1700s, maybe 1800s, somewhere in that time period.
And they're in sailboats and stuff here.
The first chapter outside of the tutorial is a shipwreck. So your ship has wrecked into this. You have to construct a town, not really a town, but you have to construct elements that will get you the resources to repair your ship and get off of this area that you've wrecked. And so it's kind of like, I don't want to say it's an RTS, but it kind of is an RTS at times, like without any combat. It's a passive game, but you are strategizing how you're sending out and building resources. So, like you need to build a lumberjack cabin, and that lumberjack cabin is going to give you, so everything that you drop has a radius on it. And as you are moving it on your screen to drop this, the radius is highlighting things that thing that you're building is able to get. And so the lumberjack.
Sure, you want to put your lumberjack thing next to the trees because that's right. What they cut down.
And then each one of those, you can house different workers, up to like four workers in each one. But there's going to be hubs that you have. So like you do have like a city center or a main building, and then you don't need roads, but roads speed up production. And so I get some mini metro vibes too on like, how can I coordinate the flow of this correctly? So like, are there stockpiles nearby? But you need people who are going to feed. So you have to feed your town. You have set amount of people. And if there's housing and people are happy and there's work, they're going to reproduce. And after a period of time, the kids that are there will become able-bodied workers, and then they grow up into adults in this period, and you can put them into other buildings. And
there's child labor in this game? Is that what I mean?
There's no child labor. There's children there.
Do people die off? Like if the children grow, or does your population just?
So if the population if they don't, like hunger is like I guess the enemy in the game is hunger, right? And so people can starve to death. Each chapter introduces a new building that you can build. So the first one that you get is a sawmill, because you need planks to go and do this boat and build that out. But it gets interesting because you have to strike a balance of speed, placement, time, and you're managing these resources. Like, are we getting enough wood right now? Great, I have enough wood so I can build these houses. Well, we're getting low on food. Well, I'm going to shift people around from this building. So I might go down to two people on wood duty and put three or four people on getting.
Yep. Uh-huh. We know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I really
what like is this. Yes. What does wood duty entail, Bobby?
Call of wood duty out there gathering
wood.
Children.
God, I'm sorry. I'm a 33-year-old man.
Yeah, I can tell. But I really like the way that this game looks. I love the style of it. It's got
I just downloaded it. I'm gonna check this out.
It's really neat. I have enjoyed just popping this open, laying in bed, working on getting things mapped out there, and
laying in bed on wood duty. You know,
God damn it!
Joe. So is it just on Apple Arcade?
It is. It's just on Apple Arcade right now. I think
it came out in 2019. Yeah. I didn't realize it was been out that long.
I think the developers have made a couple other mobile games. That seems to be what they're focusing on. I thought for sure this would be on this would be like on Switch or something, but I have played it on my Mac.
I downloaded this a long time ago and never played it, and now I don't have Apple Arcade anymore.
Damn it.
I think maybe we'll do a quick look on this one, Chase. I'm gonna try and figure out a way for us to do that. I think it would be really neat. But I dig it. It serves its purpose really well. It's not too invasive. I think it's not quite a clicker, but it's not quite something that you have to be paying too much attention to.
Almost idle game.
It's an almost idle game. I know the next two games are really going to be something that Johnny talks about a little bit more. But before we get into what's good, I try really hard to not be too much of an asshole.
Do you
fail
to everything but Johnny?
There you go.
So I have Ubisoft Connect, Ubisoft Plus, whatever that is, and I saw some videos going around about 2 weeks ago. So I'm like, what the hell is that? That looks kind of slick. That looks neat. And I downloaded Riders Republic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've gotten more upset with a game in some time than I have with fucking Riders Republic.
Are you talking about how terrible the characters are in that game?
Oh my god, this is some of the worst fucking characters I have ever came across.
It's terrible.
It's
I almost quit the game.
I did quit the game. I quit the fucking game over this. It's awful. This is like if somebody was like, hey, do you have a weed? And do you know a Matthew McConaughey? Because I have a weed for Matthew McConaughey. And holy shit, it is the most cringy fucking writing.
It's like a boardroom of people.
Dude, this I don't know.
Pat around and we're like, hey, what do people who like extreme sports talk? Extreme sports talk like?
What do people who like extreme jorts talk about, Johnny? What?
There are some extreme jorts in this game.
There are. Chase, man, you need to, because you are the person who hates people's talk more than anything in the world. Like,
as somebody, I talked to Chase about this.
Oh, dude, this is
fun. Privately.
Yeah, I need to experience it for myself.
It's so bad. It almost made me quit the game.
I'll say, I think that the gameplay mechanics are pretty damn good. I think that's what really sucks, is because I was hoping to get into like an SS Tricky type situation or something like that. And like have like a 1080 snowboard or something like that. Like I was really excited to have something that really captured the spirit of what I enjoyed, like in that 360 era of it. But holy fucking shit, man. Like I couldn't even get past all the goddamn talking and the whole hub of these
people. You can skip a lot of it.
You can, but it's like built into it. Like you've got
to. Hey, bro. I noticed you just went down Sidewinder and hey.
Get pitted, bro. Oh, fucking bro. Like just shut the fuck up.
It's like they fed one Sean White interview into a computer and said make a whole video game based on this. It's
like 100 monkeys in a room.
Dude, have you seen that Key and Peele video where they're talking about how Gremlins 2 came to be? Yes, it's in the movie. That's in the movie.
I just watched Fast Times at Ridgemont High for the first time. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing is that they made a whole video game around the character of what's his name?
Spicoli? The Shining Tom character.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, yes.
The surfer dude.
Sure.
Yeah. But he was even a little bit likable in that, you know, like.
Yeah, this is just, this is the most, like, it does, it sounds like it was written by AI who had watched the movie Out Cold.
Yes.
Like, 30 times.
This is really interesting to me because the other game that you haven't brought up yet but are about to, that franchise has, I would say, has a lot of that too.
Yes, where it, but it
it's
doesn't.
A lot, it's a lot of like.
The way well,
it can story. Though. It can, but the idea that this goes even further and past that point is scary.
It's way beyond that, man. Like it's a lot to get through. The first
outside of that, like what is? I know Rider so Republic fun. Is. You got bikes, you got snowboards, you mm-hmm. got wingsuits.
Wingsuit.
Anything else in there?
You got a rocket pack with wings on it.
Of course.
Yeah, whatever.
That you can use to fly anywhere on the map. You have a snowmobile that you can use if you're on a mountain. And it's just, it gets to a point where the map is just there for you to explore. And there is all, like, so much fun, engaging stuff to interact with, and there are, you know, races and things like that that show up on the map like they would in a Forza Horizon game.
Second thing that comes up on search, type in Riders Republic, how to skip cutscenes and dialogue.
Not surprised. You try and tune that stuff out as much as you can, and they play like a cheesy cinematic before each new race. Like if it's a place you've never been before, and it's like, you know, Deathloop Skid Row, and like it just has stupid names for all the
they've got
courses and stuff.
They've got like these. Your camp. Oh, here's the place where you go to get the food. I think this guy's an up and comer. He's gonna be fucking great. Blah, 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 blah. Like, yeah. Oh my god! Shut up.
God. And there's it's like it's supposed to be this like I don't know, commune of stoner dipshits who love to BMX, snowboard, and ski and whatnot. And they're all like living in this Riders Republic, and it's like, oh yeah, this here's the shop where you can get like sweet new threads. Over here's this where you get some pretty sick, like,
I mean, if
over
I here, hate this, I know Chase will hate this.
this is the Hacky Sack house. This is a house that's just for playing Hacky Sack.
Yeah, devil sticks and rollerblades over here, asshole.
Yeah. Anyway,
Riders Republic has been uninstalled. Off my computer.
I haven't gone that far. It's really easy to dunk on this game, but the mechanics are sound. It's a lot of fun.
100%. The gameplay is good.
But also, good. I've been just dying for Forza Horizon 5 to come out. And I had this month that I paid for of the Ubisoft thing to play Far Cry. And it's like, okay, I'm seeing some big hype around this Riders Republic game. Let's check this shit out. And it was like the appetizer. It was like the hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to the Forza Horizon games, right? Mm-hmm. Just in the structure of it. So now that Forza Horizon is out,
yeah, I'm done with it. I'm canceling my Ubisoft
completely. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I had my fun, but you know, some mozzarella sticks isn't a meal. You know. I'm ready for my prime rib at whatever restaurant serves mozzarella sticks and prime rib.
Apparently, Lenort01 from our chat is a Riders Republic fan because they popped in here real quick. Thanks for getting rid of them.
That's honestly that chat that they threw out there sounded like something that might come out of Riders Republic.
Oh god,
want to get famous, dude?
Oh god, yuck. All right,
so yeah,
Johnny, we're going to transition power to you here, because I know that you've put more time into this. We did a stream the other night. I can't stop playing Forza Horizon 5. It's a problem.
Yeah.
I am trying to do other shit as we talk about for Game of the Year. I fucking love this game. God, this is such a game.
Go on.
So I do want to hear Johnny talk about it because he, I know he's put more time into it. But Bobby, I think that you might have a more interesting idea here because you didn't love Forza Horizon 4. These games are extremely similar. So I'm trying to, I really want to figure out what's different about this one that grabs you that 4 didn't do. Is it just that it's in Mexico and that's
No. The setting wasn't England, it. Like, I don't know really. I can't explain it because I agree with you. Like there should be no situation where I'm like, I'm really into Forza Horizon 5, but I just didn't get into 4 because I thought 4 was a really great game. I just think that I was moving back to Xbox at the time. I was an Xbox 360 player. I went over to PlayStation. The Switch had come out, and I got this brand new Xbox. This would have been in November of that year, right? Yeah.
Yeah. 18.
So I'm trying to think of like what other big games are coming out around that time. That like, I think that's, isn't that the year that Origins came out? Assassin's Creed Origins? Or was that 17? Uh-huh. That was 18, right? Anyway. I think that it just came down to one, I don't think I really fully understood the genre of the Horizon series in Forza. And I didn't think I realized that this was more about just me fucking around and like I can customize cars and like drive around and do shit on the map and check that out. I was always concerned that this was going to be more about like, you're not going to be the best driver out there and like you don't have the time to like get good at winning races, especially if there's a heavy emphasis on it. But this time around, man, like I'll cruise past something and it'll be like, hey, this person on your friends list has more than you. I'm like, well, fuck them. Not anymore. They don't. And so like, I'll go get my car out and I'll be like, eat that. And like, I'll have some fun with it because this asynchronous like approach to my schedule is not going to always link up with me to like go head to head with you. But seeing people that I used to play video games with playing this game and then have that show up, I'm like, well, fuck yeah, that's really cool. I'll definitely go and do that. So for me, I think the game is one of the most approachable racing games I've come across in a very long time. And I could probably say, if I went back to 4, I could probably say that too, knowing how the formula works here a bit more. There's some quality of life stuff that we talked about on the quick look for this that I don't think was there as far as like car delivery and all that stuff. But I'm looking at it for what it is, and it's not anything that it's me. Like, it was just my dumb ass not understanding it, but I'm looking at this now as this is just an open world game with side quests that I would approach with the same way like an action RPG and hopping out there to check it out and doing those things. So they did take aspects, chat's calling it out here, aspects of Burnout Paradise.
Yeah,
100%.
It's not nearly as arcadey as that, but yeah, like big open world, things to do everywhere.
And also the Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, the reboot that Criterion did too, that very much had that same kind of, I put up a, it was called Autolog in there, but I set a record on this track or on this part of this race, and that gets sent to my friends list on my Xbox 360 when they're playing the game, and they can see, oh, Chase was higher than me, and they can, you'd have battles where you'd go back and forth on who can get the best times. And that was super fun. The Autolog was great, and I'm really glad to see that they've, that other companies have been able to pick that up and run with it and find ways of getting that kind of asynchronous multiplayer. Asynchronous multiplayer is just one of my favorite things in video games. That's super fun. Which is why I really was disappointed that the new Mario Golf didn't have it.
Yeah.
Or the old Mario Golf did. What?
One thing I'll say really quick before I hand over to Johnny. So I have a pretty rich history with vehicles. And Chase, you and I talked about this when we were looking at doing a really funny podcast at one point in time. But my dad did some really wild car customization stuff. He's been like in magazines for it. I grew up in a heavy car culture. Like, I've been like at car shows. I've done a lot of stuff with like that aspect of it. I've had tuner cars. I've had low riders. I've had all that stuff. Like, that was something I was really into when I was younger. and I still have appreciation for, but just doesn't match up with my lifestyle right now. And
I open invitation, Bobby, to still do that podcast whenever you want. I'm ready.
Okay. But yeah, so for me, like, I remember at that time period when I was doing a lot of stuff with cars, like playing Midnight Club and like Need for Speed Underground and all that stuff was like a really cool thing for me. And so I feel the call to that. And like, I want to do a lot more customization with this game, and it's got some amazing tools there for it. So I think that's where my curiosity is really peaked here. But I am a convert. The last thing I'll say is that like I have a mountain of things to play. In the last few nights, I've fired up Forza, and I've just been so content. Like, I've been so happy, like firing that up, cruising around, having a good time, running and doing some challenges, customizing some cars. I've got a really badass like Jimmy right now that I got all souped up. That is just a beast of a car. And
what sort of paint job you have on that Jimmy?
Well, the first one was a bit more practical. Mm-hmm. It was a blue with wood paneling, but the one I got right now is fucking powder pink anime baby. It's got all kinds of weird shit on it. It's awesome. It looks like a body pillow that you have fucking mud wheels on. It's great.
Okay. We should load some screenshots up on our Twitter.
Nobody's gonna top this fucking van.
Oh, Drifting for Jesus?
God damn. That's good. You sent that group.
Okay, we'll put a picture of that up tomorrow.
Yeah, it's good. Anyway, Johnny, this is your segment. I fucking love this game. Tell me why you love
it. Man, so I have a weird history with racing games. I never really played a huge amount of them. I played a lot of Cruising USA on the N64. I played some Need for Speed on my computer back in the early 2000s. And then I didn't really, aside from Mario Kart, like play any that had like real or realistic looking cars in them until Gran Turismo 5, which I really liked. But I never played Burnout. Never really played a lot of the Need for Speed games. And so 2015, I think, is when I got an Xbox One. And it came with a copy of Forza Horizon 2, or it was a game with gold. And so the Horizon series was like the full kindling of my love of racing games. And each one that has come out after the other, like I think 3 was probably my favorite up to this point.
Yeah, that was such a good map too.
It was.
And that's where they added seasons, so you'd get like frozen lakes and things like that.
Mm-hmm. It was so good. And I played and really enjoyed all these games, but this one, I don't know, like something's just hitting different with it, and it's very close to being maybe my favorite thing I played this year. It came out at a really good time for me. There's been some stuff that I've been dealing with in my personal life, and it's been nice just to
not me this time.
No, not you. And it's been nice to just have something I can just like. It's not like it's taking my attention, but it's not making me feel anxious or whatever. Like I'm chilled out. I'm driving, maybe listening to a podcast. And it's such a, like, it's so joyful. Like, I feel so happy when I play it, you know?
Are you listening to our podcast?
I have. I've listened to both episodes of the podcast that I wasn't on.
Good.
And I don't know, Bobby, like, do you get that sense? Like, it feels like something that was just made with so much love for those type of games. And,
not only that, like, man, but the community backing on it. Like, I think it's really cool that there's this whole aspect, right? That like, there's somebody out there right now who is just going to town on making a tune for a vehicle that they love, that they're going to put out there and people can download. And I think that
I've done that so many times since I started playing this game, because I'm not a gearhead at all. Like I'm completely overwhelmed by all that stuff.
And like me, like I love the design aspect of things, like all the shit here on our show, I do all that stuff, but like, I'm going to commit an absurd amount of time to put our logo into this game. mm-hmm. and plaster that all over shit. And so like the idea that you've got these people feeding things into it to make it something different. Mm-hmm. I mean, like this Drifting for Jesus fan has brought us so many laughs outside of our show that like some it's guy, so right. But some guy was sitting down there like doing some shit, right. To make this and like that going uh-huh. into it. So you've got this really cool blank canvas with a lot of personality and heart that the developers put out there. And you got all these people just pumping cool shit into that to sustain yeah. it and make it more.
Because it's a community feeling. Yeah. And like, you know, to be quite honest, like it's a lot of these cars are the same ones I drove in 4. You know, mechanically, I think it's probably the best it's ever played. But I don't know. There's just something about this one that is hitting different for me this time.
Same.
And it might be
a series that's a lot like Pokemon where I don't really feel like it's evolved from mm-hmm. from one to the other. Like maybe the change of seasons was the one thing I could point to that goes like, oh, that felt really different. But for the most part, this game has been this kind of game for yeah. 5 iterations, and it kind of doesn't matter because it's just so good.
Yeah,
and like they're spaced out. They're spaced out enough where it's like, oh, I'm ready for another one of these, mm-hmm. and then there's another one.
And just I don't know. I never feel overwhelmed by the amount of stuff that's on the map because I know, you know, these are the types of races that I like to do, and I can do these other ones if I want. But
they're just always fun. Like I've also played Forza Motorsport, and I enjoy Forza Motorsport. I played 3 and
yeah.
4. Those are also good games, but there is an element where the fun is kind of taken out of them and where, you know, I am coming here to play a sim. And I'm sure it's very, very similar to, and in fact, it's probably even worse in the Gran Turismo games where it is,
yeah.
we are not here to have fun. We are here to race. We're here to race correctly. Rubbing is not racing. You will be disqualified if you rub at all. And Forza Horizon says, no, fuck that. We're having fun. Like it's like we're taking jumps off of big hills. We're riding around a volcano. We're doing a dumb Carlson dance over a waterfall.
Exactly.
Before we get sued for it. It's there to have a fun time. And sometimes it can get stupid. And it does have some of that. Not necessarily bro-y kind of surfer dude culture that you get out of Riders Republic, but there is a certain amount of like,
to it.
We are all so excited about the cars. And it's like, okay, what's wrong with you? This is weird, but
yeah, but it's never in your face enough to really bother me. Like it's just, it's another dressing and, you know, they still have the barn finds. You can gift cars to other people in the barns now. I've done that a couple of times and I've gotten like a thank you message from one of the people that got my car that said they really liked it. And it was like a duplicate of a Corvette that I had.
There's an option with that too, which I think is really cool. So you can drop it and they give you a dialogue menu. It's like, okay, do you want this to be to a first time player or to a returning player? And you can start to drill down like who you want to get it. And I think that's really neat how they do that.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I like that feature a lot. I played some of the multiplayer stuff today.
I think you guys should save your cars for when I get this game, and then you should just give me all your cars.
I don't know if I can. Chase. Can you give them to one person? Is that possible?
I don't know.
Oh, you can't necessarily just gift it to a friend.
I would be happy to do it.
To the world.
I'll tell you what I will do, Chase.
Mm-hmm.
I will gift you a 1 month trial of Game Pass because
I am curious
about one thing. I want to know, I really like legitimately would like to know, like, how does this game perform on a launch Xbox
One? I mean, I've heard that it runs really solid across all the platforms that it's on.
I'm sure it does. The reason I haven't played it, I've watched you guys play it a couple times. I was on there for the quick look. And also, I just know what this game is because it's the same as
Forza Horizon.
I've been waiting to get my Steam Deck, and we might have an update on that in our news segment. But there's a part of me that just doesn't want to play it on an Xbox One because I know it's not going to look as good. I want it to look I guess I don't want it to look as good as possible, because I'm that Steam Deck version, there's no way it's going to look as good as it's, it can't have as high a quality. You can't put it up to the full settings that you can with a fully maxed out PC. But still, like, Steam Deck's got to run better than a launch Xbox One.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a car game, though. And, like, typically, those look pretty good.
I don't know. Even... It takes a lot of polygons to get those wheels that super round.
Is this one that they're doing, you can stream it on your Xbox One?
You can. Yep.
That might honestly be, like...
But theoretically, Chase, that... you could run this 4K 60 or
yeah, no bullshit. Like, it's like I was going to try and play a little bit of this on my phone with my Razer controller.
Yeah, and it would be doing it as if it was playing on a Series X. Yeah,
something to think about.
What if I just played Forza Horizon 4 for like 20 minutes?
Okay,
I think that's basically the same.
Yeah,
it would still make my top 10 for this year.
Sure.
It's like I played 20 minutes of Forza Horizon 4 this year. Forza Horizon 5 is like my number 7. That's
fair.
That's my justification. There you go.
There you go.
Johnny, what else? Or any other thoughts on Forza? Or do you want to move on?
No, man. I could just go on about how much I'm loving that game. But I'll stop. The only other thing I put any significant amount of time into, outside of Symmetra Dread, on my fancy new OLED switch.
Nice.
Is Eastward. And that game also looks very nice on that screen.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've noticed just how stupidly gorgeous things are on there. Anyway.
Where are you in Eastward?
I am in chapter 1, but I think I might be getting close to the end.
So you're in a cave?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to escape.
Yeah, you're close.
Okay. And I just got the ability to switch back and forth between John and Sam.
Man, that
game, I started it over a month ago and I was like, okay, this seems neat. And then, I don't know, something just in my mind yesterday, the day before, was like, hey, you should play more Eastward. And I'm really glad I picked it back up because it seems like it's a potential to be a pretty special game. It's like Legend of Zelda Two Swords. That's how it's shaping up. I don't know if you get other people in your party or not. But
the more I play that game, the less I want to play that game, if that makes sense. I don't think I love the game playing part of it. I love the art, I love the writing, I love just being in that world. Mm-hmm. And there's something about when I get to the actual combat or just a lot of the actual mechanics outside of combat just don't feel fun to me, but it's so hard to deny that game is a charmer. Like it's doing so much that makes me smile every, like every few minutes, that even when I am kind of bored by that game, I still want to keep going, even though I really don't want to keep going.
Yeah. I think that, you know, Johnny, you're so close to breaking ground on that. Mm-hmm. And that game really becomes something special once the cave looks fine, but when you get out of that cave.
Yeah, I mean, you're only like a couple hours to seeing some real cool spectacle stuff. Mm-hmm. that I think is the probably the most important thing to see out of that game.
Okay.
Before game of the year time, at least. And I haven't put a ton of time into it. But I have a hard time believing that game is going to have more spectacle that wows me in the way that first couple do.
Yeah, man, I think that I like the gameplay in it quite a bit, actually, and I'm having a good time with it. I think the puzzling is pretty cool.
I'm enjoying that.
Your combat does evolve a little bit. You get some nice upgrades to it. I wish that I had, because there's such an
emphasis. Do I ever get something that's not a frying pan?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I wish that I had more control over some of the cooking in that game. I think that would be really, as much as that's an aspect of it, like I'd like to see more into it. But That's about
but
it.
You don't like playing a slot machine?
I mean, I'm not very good at it, but after like the Moonglow Bay, how they approach
it's like the fun. The slide game in Super Mario Brothers 3. I was just playing that two nights ago.
Yeah, so
That's Eastward. I like it.
Okay.
And that is about it. I think we're ready for
the casual report.
All right, guys. I've assembled some news stories here we're going to talk about. Why don't we get started? So we all remember Marvel's Avengers coming out, right?
Unfortunately.
Huge hit.
That's the thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Square, as they are wont to do with their Western developers, kind of threw them under the bus during a call, and they claim Crystal Dynamics was the wrong fit for disappointing Marvel's Avengers.
You know what I just read today that blew my mind? I completely forgot about this, and like people were pretty outraged at the time. Fucking Spider-Man. He's finally showing up in this game. November 30th.
Oh, he is?
For anybody. That was the whole thing. If you, he was locked to PlayStation. Everybody's like, fuck them. Fuck that. And all this stuff. And this game shit the bed pretty hard. And everybody forgot about Spider-Man.
Oh, did it?
And now, just in time for him to be, you know, everybody flipping their lids over No Way Home, Spider-Man's like, hey, I'm back, baby. Back.
I feel like that was more, hey, we have bigger problems than Spider-Man. We need to fix those and push our Spider-Man plans back.
Yes, agreed. Mess. Agreed, but they also put fucking Hawkeye out and his daughter before Spider-Man. Wow. And they announced Black Panther before Spider-Man. So they were putting out more content that everybody would get, which I understand. But I don't know who needs to hear this. I don't know who needs to hear this at Marvel. Hawkeye is not a fucking show seller, baby. Get that guy out of the fucking spotlight. He's a douchebag.
You don't want to watch his TV show?
No. Yeah. It's like I was like, was that a Hallmark movie that I just saw something for? What the fuck was
it? Was it was set at Christmas. It is Christmas.
Oh god.
Jesus Christ.
So cue up a bunch of
Hawkeye's
a Christmas show, guys.
Dude,
like Die Hard.
You can't tell me out of that fucking catalog of characters for fucking Marvel.
That what about like, Black Widow?
We're gonna.
She'd be cooler than fucking Hawkeye.
You know, if you're making a TV show though, and you need to base it on a Marvel character because Marvel's super hot right now, production wise, Hawkeye's pretty easy. Like you don't have to make any crazy CGI.
Hey,
you don't have to do a bunch of weird shit.
Like, these are the same fucking brainiacs that canceled Daredevil, which, Jesus Christ, man, that show was so good. Put fucking Daredevil in the game, Hawkeye.
Did Marvel do that, or did the Netflix do that?
Marvel. Marvel pulled all their shit out of there.
Well, is that because of Disney Plus?
Disney Plus.
More than it was about the show.
There was talk that they were going to move those Marvel shows at the time, which I don't think would make any sense now, but over to Hulu, because they got Hulu in that deal also with Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were going to put more of those like darker, because I mean, I don't know if you two have watched the Daredevil TV show. One, it's
really good. I've watched a couple episodes.
It's fucking dark. Like, it's brutal. And I thought that they wouldn't want to have that on.
Yeah, it's dark. He's blind.
All right, I'm gonna.
God damn it, Johnny.
It's dark all the time. What are you talking about?
Twitch really quick. Go over here to.
Can we ban Johnny despite him being on the podcast with us?
All points.
Is there a way to do that?
Let's see here.
I'm sorry.
You should be sorry.
What's Matthew McConaughey saying in Interstellar? This little maneuver is going to cost us 7 years. Well, that little maneuver just cost you 15,000 points, asshole. Because
Jesus Christ. Okay, so if Crystal Dynamics is the wrong fit for Marvel's Avengers, who would have been the right fit?
I don't know.
Square doesn't have another. Does Square even have another Western developer?
Do they have anyone who's made a game as a service? Because it certainly wasn't Crystal Dynamics.
Well, I mean, Final Fantasy 14 is a game as a service, right?
Sure. So that's That's so shitty. That's
lame. I mean,
I don't know. Like,
I have a feeling if you tell me if the options are here, one option is Crystal Dynamics fucked this game up, and everything Square and Marvel were doing was great, and it was just Crystal Dynamics' fault, or Marvel and Square Enix were dumb and stupid, and Crystal Dynamics made the best with what they had.
I don't know, Chase.
I think I'm going to go with option B on that one.
Yeah.
I haven't played those Tomb Raider games. I don't really care about what Crystal Dynamics makes.
I love
but those. I still think they're like a respectable developer.
Mm-hmm.
And all the bullshit in Avengers just feels like something that Marvel
feels like decisions being made on their behalf.
I have to wonder. It's been so long ago, but when this game was shown off, like, their fucking character models looked like hot garbage, and people lost their mind.
Yeah.
They looked terrible. And it's not too far removed from
the outrage. This is bad timing. Bad timing with stuff that was happening in MCU. And those actors, their portrayals are so iconic now.
Wish.com made the Avengers, you know.
Oh my God.
I think that also they pivoted pretty quickly. And I wonder how much of a disruption that sort of caused on like what they were trying to do from like quality control. There's a lot of different skins. It's fucking hard, man. And I think that
people need to stop making Destinies. Even Bungie is struggling to make Destiny. Like, don't make more Destinies. We don't need more Destinies. Please stop.
Yeah.
2021's please stop is
and
stop making more Destinies.
Look, I'll tell you this right now. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy is a good video game. That's a very good video game.
I believe you.
The way that they've handled that ensemble of characters, I think, is done really well. The writing is really good in that game. It looks good, even though they're not quite what you would expect from... We've talked about this, but like they did a good job of balancing that, and I think that there's a strong shift to like wash away that. It's if you're going to play one of those, play that one. That's what I'll say. What else we got, Johnny?
Remember how Blizzard hired Jen O'Neill of Vicarious Visions and Mike Ibarra to co-lead Blizzard?
Yeah.
I did not know.
Jen O'Neill is leaving Blizzard.
Cue the about 3 months. Enthusiasm music.
Burr, 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 burr. Yeah, so she made a statement saying,
I'm getting the fuck out of here. This place sucks.
I'm doing this.
Have you heard about all the shit they've done here? I don't want to be a part of that.
There's going to be a spinoff of Succession, and it's just Activision and Blizzard.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but it's like the opposite. Nobody wants to take the reins of this company.
So here's a quote from her. I'm doing this not because I am without hope for Blizzard. Quite the opposite.
Was it not? Did she do the double negative?
I was getting corrected myself. So that just sounds like a big old steaming pile of shit to me. I'm doing this because I have more faith than ever in Blizzard.
Sure.
Man, that company is just...
Well, I mean, it sounds like they're doing great. I mean, you got Diablo 4 and Overwatch 2. Those are coming out real soon. So, they're just running on all cylinders. Sure. Anyway, Johnny, what's the next news story? I mean,
in relative terms, they're coming out soon. So, Diablo 4 and Overwatch 2, which, what is that even going to be? We don't know. Those are coming out at the very earliest, 2023. But
I read that this was delayed indefinitely.
It is. Yeah. So
Jedi somehow picked up on my sarcasm.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I can't say I'm surprised. I mean, COVID, all the stuff they're going through right now at that company.
Don't you sully their bullshit with COVID. It's
no. I'm saying combined, like there's probably already going to be delays.
Yeah.
Because it took a lot of time for them to come up with the new name of Cassidy. So, you know, you gotta think like how long did that push everything else back?
Oh, dude.
Rename a character.
We know now.
God.
It's a detrimental effect.
Hang on.
Turns out you shouldn't name characters after your leadership who you know suck.
Yeah.
Let me say this.
Weird.
Video games.
That's why this isn't called the Johnny Hour, because we know that we'd have to change the name at some point.
Yeah, no one would listen.
The truth comes out.
It's hard to make video games. I do believe there are good people making games at Activision Blizzard.
Sure. Yes. Not everybody at Blizzard can be a total piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of them.
There's a lot of shit.
They used to be a piece of shit.
People can change.
Some of us still are.
I'm worried Blizzard thinks I can't change.
What else we got?
Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl have leaked early. So there's been some footage going around of this game, which is coming out on the 19th.
This game's been out before. What's there to leak?
Yeah, it leaked early. It's on the DS.
Well, there was some stuff that people were wondering if they'd bring back, or you know, if they'd add anything extra to it like they have for other remakes that they've made in the past.
So I'm still on kind of a media blackout of of this, so yeah. I don't want to hear too many things.
That it leaked is the story then. How about that?
So when you say leaked, it's just information, or like the full games are out there?
The full game. Someone has access to the full game. They've been playing it, posting clips and things like that. They showed like the town map, some other things. So it's just things that, you know, we weren't 100% certain of. Have come to light. So
is this kind of like do you think that we'll see something similar that happened to Metroid happen here? When you talk about
it going on to emulators?
Oh, no.
Got it.
This isn't that.
Someone got a copy of the game early.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's totally possible that it could also show up on emulators really quick. Yeah. That's the name of the game at this point.
But that's, I mean, yeah. Dread was like a huge exception to that rule. Because usually emulation is at least like one, two generations behind.
Right.
Speaking of things flagging behind, we got some disappointing but not really surprising news. The Steam Deck is going to get delayed by 2 months. So basically, your place in line, like you still have the same place in line, but now
everybody jump ahead. Back. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was on a late 2021 for my pre-order, and now it's gotten pushed to February of 2022.
Mm-hmm. And I was Q2 2022, so I'm probably sometime in the summer.
And it's disappointing for sure. Like, I was hoping I'd be able to play that before, probably not before Game of the Year, but I was hoping I'd have that around holiday time and could try that out and see what it's like. Yeah. But I'm not dying for it. Like, it's okay. I'll
this happened, and then I'm like, okay, when's the next email from Analog coming?
Yeah, when's the next one from Analog? Bobby sent me a text earlier this week going like, hey, have we heard anything about the
playdates?
Playdates, yeah. And I'm like, no, not for a bit. when the hell are all these handhelds showing up?
I don't know.
It's a good question.
They did say, I know for the playdate, they're like, we have 20,000 that we will ship out this year. And
yeah. Oh, I trust that all these things are going to come eventually. And
but it's,
November, I guess I'm just,
you know, like it's almost Thanksgiving.
Yeah. There's enough to play.
Yeah.
That's my problem is not that I don't have enough games to play.
Right.
That's for damn sure.
Sure. And then finally here, some Elden Ring preview coverage dropped today. They also sent out invites to their closed network test.
Congratulations, and Johnny.
I did not receive an invitation or a denial, because I saw some people were getting emails saying, hey, thanks for signing up, but unfortunately you weren't selected. I didn't even get that. I got jack shit.
Is this the okay time to tell you that I got selected to play this game?
Don't.
I got selected twice. I don't know.
Stop it.
guess what I'm going to do.
Elden Ring quick look coming up.
Crash.
Bobby, you and I should do an Elden Ring quick look and not allow Johnny to be on.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I'm just going to put Link in some armor and run around and be like, look at me. I like Dark Souls.
Guys, you know.
It's just Skyrim.
It's art. It's art. This is such.
You know how exciting. Like,
oh, look, I can jump in this game too.
Ooh, oh, it's I know Skyrim. Neither of you
give a shit.
Yeah, a Skyrim special edition. Death, loot, whatever. Yeah. Elden Ring.
Play some Quest 64 and go. Man, like, that PG covers is good.
You see that
Elden
mountain?
Ring.
You can get killed by it. You see that mountain? It'll kill you. You see that? That's actually a skeleton lore. It's from an eagle that was here before you were, and it praises the sun. You know, Jar Jar Martin was in this game. Who gives a shit?
I used to praise the sun until I got hit by an arrow in the knee.
I used to be a praise sun. People can change. He's so mad. Let me just install this really quick and get it over with.
Look at me. I'm the praise sun now.
Yeah, I wonder what would break first, Johnny. Your spirit or your body?
My mind.
You merely adopted
right
the Dark Souls. I was born by it.
So yeah, that's the news.
This sucks.
Have fun with your homework. Okay, well, we got...
I love the lore in the Dark Souls games, Jedi. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he writes about it in
Johnny Amzich, the whore for lore.
Johnny's downloaded Pikmin Blue. Bobby and Chase got Elden Ring today. Pikmin, frowny face. Well, tell me about it. Okay, let's wrap this fucking thing up. We've had a lot of fun tonight. Johnny, welcome back. I did not get into Elden Ring, nor do I want to be in Elden Ring.
I know.
But what I do want is to tell you about some sort of video game that we got to play earlier this week, which we talked about a lot. So Tuesday, quick look went up for Forza Horizon 5. Go check that out. Monday night, Chase and I went and played one of our favorites, Loop Hero, and Loop Hero, still very good. That kicked off our road to Game of the Year 2021 here at the Casual Hour. And tomorrow, we had a quick look for a game that I was curious about, and not necessarily anything in the... It could be, I guess, in conversation, because it did come out this year, but a game called Roguebook, which is another deck-building roguelike game. Really cool game. I think there's a seat at the table for it, even in a very saturated genre. We'll have that going live tomorrow at 9 a.m. You can follow along on our website, or you can go to youtube.com/casualhour. And then Friday night, we're going to have a really, really special Let's Play. Friends of the show are going to be swinging by. We've got a lot of people coming to... Not a lot, but we've got more than just our usual crew checking out Animal Crossing. And we are thrilled to go back and check that out. We didn't talk about it tonight, but I've been playing a lot of that game this week, trying to get my island ready to go for that stream on Friday night. So
we're not going to my island.
Oh, we are. No.
No.
We're not.
This is a dump.
We'll probably hit up a couple islands for sure. I got a message from Jedi here in chat beforehand about using the dream visit stuff. So we're gonna do that.
Yeah.
It'll be cool. It'll be really cool to have some of that going on there. But that'll be Friday night. If you want to follow along with what we're doing, we post our schedules every Monday, usually on Twitter and Instagram, at the Casual Hour on all those platforms. If you're listening to this, go back and watch some of those video on demands. We do some cool shit there. You can find them on our YouTube channel. You can find them here on Twitch. But we have a ton of fun with that. And we've got some really cool stuff planned over the next several weeks. Again, next week is going to be like our last full week before we take a little time off. I think we're going to stream some stuff Mondays and Fridays, but we will not be doing the podcast on Wednesday. So we will have a week without the podcast. But we will still have our streams on Monday and Friday, and probably have the quick looks go up. We'll probably have some quick looks for sure that week, but just no podcast. Chase, are the robots at war?
They are for this last week. Yeah, I've got two more episodes of Super Robot Wars X One went up today, and the last one goes up Friday, and then I'll be done with that just in time, hopefully, for some Super Robot Wars 30 DLC to drop sometime this month. Hopefully it's
hell yeah. Soon.
And then I'll probably be playing that. I mean, not on the channel, not on the Chasey K Plays YouTube channel. I'm gonna step away from Super Robot Wars for a bit on there. But I've got some ideas of what the next thing I'll be playing for that channel is. But look it up on YouTube at Chasey K Plays, on Twitter, all that stuff. You can find out more there.
Very cool. Johnny, anything of note that you've been doing with your son or video gaming or anything that you've been...
We played some Pokemon trading card game last night, and I wiped the floor with his ass.
Good.
Hell yeah.
Good.
So...
that new version of that just got delayed also, I read. The one that they were working on. Yeah.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one got delayed. Well, hey, Jedi, everybody, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. We had a great time. We hope that you all are taking care. We'll be back Friday night with a big Animal Crossing party. If you can, go head over to YouTube, like, subscribe there for a quick looks. Go follow us on Twitch if you are listening to this, because we do a lot of fun stuff there. Play something new, be safe, and we'll talk to you all soon.